Start the show.
Two bears, one cave. Speaking of hot and looking good, he's Bert Kreischer. I'm Tom Segura.
Let's just put the pedal to the metal and go. This is a perfect way to start off this show. 12 years in the making. It's gonna be a fucking shit show.
Everyone's gonna hate this.
100%. I fucked Leanne so good last night.
Did we start? My favorite spring cleaning takeaway is the post-clean clarity you get. Wow, how have I been living like this? It's kind of like when you find out that you've been paying a fortune for wireless. When Mint Mobile has phone plans for $15 a month, when you purchase a 3-month plan, more like, wow, how have I been affording this? It's time to switch to Mint Mobile and get unlimited talk, text, and data for $15 a month. We use Mint Mobile at the office, and we have been saving so much money since switching over, and setting up on Mint Mobile's website was super easy. To get this new customer offer and your new 3-month unlimited wireless plan for just $15 a month, go to mintmobile.com/bears. That's mintmobile.com/bears. Cut your wireless bill to $15 a month at mintmobile.com/bears. $45 upfront payment required, equivalent to $15 per month. New customers on first 3 months plan only. Speed slower above 40 gigabytes on unlimited plan. Additional taxes, fees, and restrictions apply. See Mint Mobile for details.
Yep. Are you guys ready?
Yeah, we're ready now.
What happened? What'd you do?
It was awesome. It was awesome. We did this thing where it's like, imagine if you're both sitting in a chair, okay? So imagine you're both sitting in a chair. So these are your legs, right? Uh-huh. But then you do this, or like this.
That's how you had sex last night?
Yeah, and it was, it was awesome. And she's skinny now. She's always been skinny. She's always been attractive. Are we recording now? Good. Oh, I'm so glad. She's skinny now. And so, like, her body looks awesome. Uh-huh. Oh, it was fucking great.
So you did, like, some sideways shit?
Sideways, side saddle, Australian, Nicole Kidman shit.
Do you record it?
No. She would never fucking let me record it.
Dude, just, you know what you should do?
I should go back in time and record it when we were both fucking hot?
No. Just fucking start hiding cameras in the room. And then what you do is you pull the footage, and then one night when you're like, what do you feel like watching? You just pull it up. You know?
You know, it's so funny.
And you watch her cry.
I took pictures. I would take pictures. I was back before they would say, hey, someone screen grabbed your FaceTime call. Now they tell you.
Yeah.
I would take pictures of FaceTime calls when she was naked, and then I just had them all on my phone, and the girls saw them, and they're like, why is mom naked? And Leanne's like, what the fuck? Dude, I had so many, back in the day when we used to do those Vivid Video and it was like when I was married, but I didn't know I was married, you know?
Yeah.
Like I was like, oh, I can still go to the Playboy Mansion and be around naked chicks and take pictures.
Yeah.
Now, I'd still do it, by the way. But I remember taking a picture with one of the most beautiful women I've ever seen in my entire life.
Where at?
At the Playboy, they had a Playboy Mansion in Malibu.
Oh, like another property.
Another property, it was a beach house, and they were like, hey, it's like fucking $3,000 for the day. You just got to go and be funny on camera. And I was like, huh? And they're like, Lil Jon's there. It's like they're just shooting videos. And so I just went up, and all I had to do was drink. I think Adam Hunter was there. Like that movie, you know, when I say Adam Hunter, you know what comics were like. Ben Glebe was there. Like, it was like hooked in through that scene, and they were like, bro, you want to do it? I'm like, fuck yeah. Dude, the most beautiful chick to this. I mean, like, I would love to see what she looks like now, because, you know, it's not going to be the same. But, like, and she, I was like, hey, you want to get a picture? And she was like, yeah. And she just top off, just, and that was in my iCloud forever. Like, it would come up, and George and I would go, hey, it's Dad's girlfriend, as a joke.
Yeah.
But then people would hear that and be like, oh, Dad's really got a girlfriend. So I realized why. I pinpointed why I don't cheat on Leanne.
Why?
On the car ride over.
You just realized it today.
On the car ride over. Because I've been like, I've never cheated on her.
Yeah.
And I've always been respectful of our relationship, which is not the case in any of my past relationships.
You've never been respectful of them?
Uh-uh. I've cheated on fucking everybody.
How come?
Because I didn't care about them.
Why do you think? Okay, so why do you? What did you pinpoint on your way over?
Last week we were talking about commencement speeches, right?
Were we?
Before the show, I was like, we should do something about commencement speeches.
Yeah.
So I was like pinpointing, like, what would I highlight to a college graduate on how to live your life? Like, if you're starting from this point, what are my key tenets? Like, the pillars that I hang my hat on, right?
Yeah.
So number one was humility. Like that, but that's not me. My dad put that in me. So I think it's good if you're like, I'm the fucking best. I'm the best comic. I know I'm the greatest. Mm-hmm. I know I'm dope. I'm fucking awesome. You're not. You're just not. That's the truth. If you have to say it out loud to yourself and to other people, you're actually not. Right. Usually we say it to you.
Right.
Like, a lot of people have said it to Bill Burr. How often do you think Bill Burr is like, man, I know I'm the greatest.
He shuts down.
Yeah. He goes, hey, please don't say that. I'm not.
He becomes a dick.
Yeah. He actually becomes like, a little aggressive.
You're gray. He's like, shut the fuck up.
Go tell Rogan he's the best. Hey, sit down Chappelle and tell him how he's the goat.
It's like, you ruin the conversation.
So humility is number one, right? The second one was roll the dice. I love rolling the dice. I love the idea of like, fuck it, let's get in the car, see what happens. I mean, my whole career has been like bad ideas turning out into good things. Fat shaming. I don't think either of us saw that going well.
No.
Yeah, right? Fucking everything I've ever done with you, I don't think. Do you know how many times I've laid in bed going, I think I ruined my career? Like, Sober October, do you remember the fucking, do you remember when we got in the car to go to your house and you're like, so are we gonna fucking do this? Like, and I was like, I remember going, I think I just ruined my career, guys. I think no one can see me drink anymore and see it in a fun way. I mean, everything, roll the dice, right?
Right.
And then last, and this comes to why I don't cheat on Leanne.
Yeah.
Be selfish.
Be selfish.
Be selfish. Like, be very selfish. Like, only think about yourself. And what makes
you
happy.
That's your advice.
That's my advice.
Okay.
Only think about yourself and what makes you happy.
Uh-huh.
And if you do that, then you're going to be happy. And that's all that fucking matters, is that you die on your deathbed happy. Now, for me, selfishly, what makes me happy is Leanne. Like, I love her. So I don't cheat on her because I need that shit. You know what I mean?
Oh, I got you.
Like,
okay.
It's just a weird...
It's like, it's fun because what you said, I see it now. It's so funny the way people need to connect the dots when you speak. So, like, what you said was be selfish. And it's like, that doesn't make sense. But then once you go on the roller coaster at the end, you're like, but being selfish means making my wife happy.
It's not about making her happy.
No, making you happy, which is making you happy. And to be for you to be happy, she needs to be around and in a good mood, or
just around.
Just around.
Just around. Like, I.
And she wouldn't be around if you were cheating. Therefore, don't cheat on her.
Like, the majority of people don't say the N word, not because they care about black people. They don't want to get beat up or fired, okay? That's selfish. You find selfish reasons to persevere. Now, I think that's true. I don't know, but that's my theory. Hey, I can barely hear myself in there, Nadav. But like, that's the way if you live life selfishly, like going, hey man, I got to think about myself first.
Yeah.
I'm on this bus. I'm not going to start toting off my theories on on Latino women and their hairstyles. Like, fucking selfishly go, I don't want to get my ass kicked. I'm going to fucking shut my fucking mouth.
Yeah.
And that's why I don't cheat on Leanne. I'm selfish. Is this making any sense?
It's made a lot of sense.
Like, think about what percentage of white people do you think don't say the N-word simply because they're like, I get in a lot of trouble. Probably 80%. Like, if they said, is this a bad way to start the show? Seven minutes in?
No, this is great.
No, but I mean, I think there's selfish.
No, I know what you're saying.
Selfish is, look at... I'll tell you who fucking broke the back for me, right? Remember we were talking about Isla before this?
Yeah.
And I go, God damn it, man. Her fucking brain fucks me up because she'll say things and like, and you'll just go, what? So she's having a really hard time waking up. Like, I mean, like next level. Like, it's like fucking 3 p.m. and she's still not awake.
What?
Dude, this kid is... And then she'll wake up and then move to the couch and fall asleep on a dog. And it's like she just cannot wake up. But then she's up until like 2 a.m.
Well, isn't that part of it?
It is part of it. But her energy level at like 10 o'clock is through the fucking roof. So I show her this video of Jocko Willink. Mm-hmm. You know that guy?
Jocko Willink, yeah.
Yeah, Jocko Willink and Casey Neistat. It's a really great video. Can we play that without getting flagged? Okay, so it's a really great video. It's on Casey's podcast or his vlog where they talk about life and how to live life. And Jocko says, get up. I'm really paraphrasing, but I know the part that's important. Get up, make your bed. Get up, make your bed.
All those military guys.
All those military guys. Get up, make your bed. Once you've gotten out and made your bed, you've accomplished a task. You have conquered a battlefield. One battlefield down, next battlefield to go. Get up, work out. Go work out. Once you've worked out, you've accomplished another battlefield. Take that battlefield down. Now you've got two goals, two victories in your day. So once you start piling up victories, then when you get to places where it's a smaller victory, like you go in and there's a donut in the break room and everyone's like, Jocko, you want a donut? I can go, no. I'm building up victories. I don't need a donut.
Gotcha.
And Isla just hits stop on the fucking thing and goes, would you ever be friends with a guy who says no to a donut? And I'm like, no, I wouldn't. And then she says to me, why are we watching this? And I said, what do you mean? And she goes, Dad, this is stuff he likes. Like, this isn't what we like. Like, if you made a video, would you be like, get up and make your bed? I go, no. She goes, you don't make your bed. I go, you know, I don't give a shit if my bed's made.
Yeah.
She goes, so then why do you care if he does? She goes, this is shit he likes. So then you start looking at it, you're like, oh, Jocko's telling you he lives his life.
Right.
And if you want to be a Navy SEAL or you didn't make the SEALs and you want to emulate a SEAL, do that. But if you're a fucking half-alcoholic stand-up comedian, why the fuck am I watching this? And then I'm looking at Isla going, why am I showing it to you? You're the person who watches The Usual Suspects and goes, gold watch, gold watch, gold watch, the whole fucking movie, and solved it before the movie was over. And I was like, it was like an epiphany of like selfishness. Find out the shit that you like and then just fill your shit with that stuff.
Yes.
Listen, those, like, to go back to like those racist people,
which ones?
Like the ones that take care of tiki torches and stuff.
Yeah.
They feel good when they're racist.
Yeah.
So that's what they fucking do.
So let them.
No, I mean, well, yeah, you're not going to stop them.
Right.
Like, it's like same as people that cheat on their wife. They're going to do it because that makes them feel good at the
feel
end of the
good.
Day.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Find the shit that makes you feel good. Just that. Listen.
But could there be a commencement speech angle where you go, if being racist makes you feel good, do that?
That would be a tough sell. Okay, I can see. Okay, now I understand what your point in my the flaw in my theory is. I didn't understand the flaw in my theory. Hold on. You're right. Okay, this isn't the best commencement speech.
Do whatever makes you feel good.
Some kid's in there in his cap and gown going, I love raping bitches. That's like my thing, man. I'm so good at it. I haven't gotten tagged yet. I love, this guy's going to get some sense.
And then he gets arrested and he's like, I saw Bert Kreischer's speech.
Bert Kreischer said, and that's why my friend firebombed a fucking, you know, a cathedral. Dude, okay, this is a horrible commencement speech.
It's actually really good.
It works for me.
Actually, this is one of my favorite segments you've ever done.
But no, but I was like obsessed with the fact that I just do shit. Like, stand up, and you, I know you'll agree with this, neither of us give a fuck about the money because we did it selfishly. It made us feel good to make people laugh. Before the money.
To use a quote from you, 100%.
You should have touched your nose. Someone said.
100%.
100%.
That's exactly the truth because if you want to get into stand-up, you do stand-up and you go like, it doesn't matter where I live or what I end up having to deal with. You like that more than anything.
Yeah.
So you just stay with it.
Yeah.
It's your love.
If you had not found Push in your life and you had found some other chick who was like, that's stupid.
She'd be in a fucking ditch.
Right? Right? And that's selfish. Yeah. Look, and that selfishness worked out for you. When I met Leanne, she's like, you're a stand-up? That's cool. And then she supported it. Look, we know that Leanne's live a very selfless life.
Yeah.
She's fucking raised two kids by herself, raised three dogs by herself. But I haven't been there. I haven't been there at all. I barely showed
up. That's amazing.
You're talking about your wife. Three chickens, a cat, fucking, you want to know something?
She two kids by herself.
You want to know something crazy?
Yeah.
She said, you have never helped us move. And I went, we moved? I was like, oh, I've never been there. I've never once.
But you know the thing is, we talk about this a lot. Like, she really, truly, fully accepts you.
Yeah, I don't know.
She really accepts you.
Because whatever is broken in her that makes her feel good at the end of the day.
Yeah.
For whatever
it lines up.
It lines up.
That's true.
It's selfish. If it didn't make her feel good, she'd fucking bounce.
That's right.
And if the second, and I hate to say this way, but the second that.
I believe it's called recreating the trauma.
I'll take it. Listen, man. Get in where you fit in.
Yes.
But I was obsessed with. Look, I think if you take the. Maybe, God, man, I love it. You can. Like, I was dead set on this being a brilliant theory about selfishness. And then till you're like, yeah, what if you like pipe bombs? You're like, well, I love making and distributing anonymously pipe bombs. By the way, I have.
And if they find their way into a mosque, I don't know.
I mean, interestingly, I dislike Muslim people. So these all line up.
My favorite thing, building stuff. Less Muslims. Yeah.
If I can selfishly, and I listen to this guy to commence his speech, selfishly, and listen, I'm not asking for credit. I'm very humble. I'm very, very humble.
What if all these like horrible crimes kept happening, and then they're like, and then he cited Bert Kreischer? It's like the new Mein Kampf.
All it takes is one guy to commit something absolutely horrible with a subtle sense of humor where he's like, got a lot of these ideas from Two Bears, One Cave.
Oh, man.
Namely, Bert Kreischer. I would ruin my career.
My God.
Who made that?
My struggle. Blueprint for a better world for everyone like me.
Oh, those are my teeth.
That's your mouth.
Oh, yeah.
But it just has a different facial hair.
I didn't see the beard.
The beard's kind of gone.
Yeah.
It was made by the hairy artist.
The hairy artist.
Yeah. By the way... I did a
Blitzkrieg Publishing.
Would I do a live stream or something?
It's really good.
I did a live stream or something. I forget what it was, and it was just racist comments from our fans.
Yeah,
like, and I was like, hey guys, in my head, I was like, hey, can you guys please tone these down a ditch? And they were like, oh, okay. And so then they just slowed it down, and they're like, he's kind of racist. By the way, I have to say this aloud one more time. I'm not racist, okay? Okay? Jesus fucking Christ. Like, this is going to become a problem at some point.
You're not racist.
I know that. Now, all right, let's pivot.
Wait, to comments, because we're talking about things people say. So I know that they pulled some YouTube comments.
Fuck.
Let's see what they are. I know that, yeah, here we go.
Is your beer fridge feeling a little empty? DoorDash is your door to beer without the run. Whatever drink you're in the mood for, they've got you. Order your alcohol with DoorDash today and drink in the savings. Use code BEARS24 to get 25% off, up to $15 value on a $35 minimum subtotal on your next alcohol order for eligible users only. I mean, there's like sometimes you just don't want to leave. That's me. Once we're at a spot and we're hanging out, I just don't want to leave. And now you don't have to. The alcohol selection on DoorDash is top shelf. Beer, wine, mixers, mocktails, and more can be delivered straight to your door. Save up to 25%, up to $15 value when you spend $35 or more with code BEARS24. So whether you're grabbing drinks for an event or staying in for the night, DoorDash is here to help you have a great evening any evening. Terms apply. Must be 21 or older to order alcohol. Drink responsibly. Delivery and promotions available only in select markets.
Hello, I'm Johnny Knoxville.
And I'm Elna Baker, and we have a new podcast. It's called Pretty Sure I Can Fly.
Yep, we've teamed up with my friends and barmates from Smartless to create a podcast where we talk to folks who have more balls in a bowling alley.
People who accomplished something extraordinary despite people telling them that it couldn't or shouldn't be done.
You'll hear stories about the Air Force doctor who buckled into a 600-mile-per-hour rocket sled and became the fastest man on the planet.
and a man who wrestles alligators and sharks for fun.
Do not do this.
You'll hear about a foul-mouthed moonshiner.
Got a 2-inch dick and a 6-inch tongue and knows how to use both of them.
And an even more foul-mouthed female stunt pilot. We got bull riders,
balloonists,
bobsledders,
and big wave surfers, people who lay their balls on an anvil and hand the other fellow the hammer.
Okay. I bet you've actually done that, Johnny.
Maybe for sweeps. Follow Pretty Sure I Can Fly on the Wondery app.
Or wherever you get your podcasts.
You can listen to Pretty Sure I Can Fly early and ad-free right now on Wondery Plus.
All right, so Dillinghammerboy25 wrote, Tom is the psycho champ for suggesting to his friend to just cut off the finger instead of wrapping it up.
Dude, I thought of that so much this week. Do you know why? Because I was watching NFL Networks and it was Ronnie Lott. And you remember Ronnie Lott?
Yeah,
was
the
pinky. Cut it off, put me back in. Yeah. And I was like, I almost guarantee you could tether the two mentalities of Tom being just a little bit Ronnie Lott in the dorm room. Like, fuck it, cut him off, get him back in the game.
Yeah. Tom looks like this isn't the first time he's worn black latex gloves, if you know what I mean. Oh, that was when we were eating our that pork rind. Jesus.
That is the best ever of you just going, I'm done. The show's over.
Oh, my God. I had
shit
to.
Aggressively.
And who was, like, not bothered at all? Was it Potter that he was
yeah,
like?
He yeah, was like, he was like, oh, this yeah, is what pussy tastes like for me.
Yeah.
This you is guys like, have never eaten a porn star's asshole? Tastes like the death rind.
I bet like his standard for what tastes fucked up is way different than ours.
Oh, I bet. We should do a blind taste test with Potter.
Oh, yeah. Savage.
Right before I fingered Leanne last night, she goes, real quick, what did we eat for dinner? And I was like, huh? She's like, did you have hot sauce today? And I went, nope. She's like, all right, go ahead. Keep going to comments. These are good comments. Oh, the backlash.
No backlash from the A people, none. Well, I didn't look that hard. Bert is truly one of a kind. Yeah.
Yeah, by the way, I have to apologize to all those people really struggling with addiction. I understand that my comments can be a tad bit flippant and destructive, so I apologize.
Wait, what got you here? Because I'm blown away right now that you recognize this.
So there's this. So I keep track of my sober days, not in a row, but my sober days on this app. It's a really cool app if you're trying to get sober. It's not if you're me and you're just using it to subtract days. It's called I Am Sober. It's pretty interesting. And a couple days ago, and then last night I read them. If you touch it, you can hear people's stories. Like you can like people share their stories of like why they're sober, what they're doing to be sober. Very few people are like, I just want to lose weight. You know, most people have real tragedy in their lives.
And most people aren't like, yeah, I want to get sober because these 15 pounds are just killing me.
I couldn't find one in there going, I just want to get back to a 7-minute mile. And so last night I was reading people's stories and they're really rough. And I was like, here I am going, guys. And for the record, every single one of them was like, I tried moderation. 10 days later, I'm sucking some dude's dick behind a dumpster. Yeah, and you're like, and they all spiral out. So I feel like if you are trying to get sober, do not fucking listen to me.
Yeah.
Whatever the fuck's wrong with me is wrong with me, and I got it, okay?
Yeah.
But, like, I feel bad because I was reading some stories going, like, oh, I didn't know you could – I didn't know, like, people – like, I don't sign into the app. I just use it to count the days, which, by the way, I think we're at 58 – well, hang on, let's see.
58 days.
Not in a row. Not 58.
Okay.
We're 1 month, 27 days, 23 hours – so we're about roughly 59 days.
Okay.
We had a little bit of a bender this weekend. But
passed over the weekend? What happened?
The wheels came off.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Tito's?
Tito's. Me and the girls drove down to the bioluminescent algae.
Uh-huh.
Down to the beach.
Uh-huh.
I was like, we were having a few pops. I was like, nice. It was just me, really, just me drinking. And I was like, let's go down to the beach. And the girls were like, it's going to be crowded. I go, well, let's wait till like 11:30, 12 o'clock. No one will be there. Drove down.
Which beach did you go to?
Marina del Rey.
Uh-huh.
Packed.
At midnight?
Big, worse than in the summer at the beach. It was fucking packed. Packed. And so we walked away from everyone to go see it. Saw for a second. And Isla was freaked out.
Like, were you drunk, though, driving?
No. Leandrove. She doesn't drink.
Yeah.
And so, but yeah, I had a fun little weekend. And so then I got back on the wagon Sunday. And I was like, God damn it. And I understood all the things people go of, like, you go, oh, like 2 days drinking back to back. And you're just like, you're like, God damn it, man. I got to get back on the wagon. And
yeah.
So I was last night. I'm like, oh, I feel great. And I see it back into my mindset. So I go scroll through the comments. And a lot of these people are having a rough time. Like, it's like a lot of people are like losing their families. And I didn't realize alcohol does that bad of stuff. Like,
yeah.
For me, it just works okay. I'm okay. And whatever, not health wise, I'm not probably, but like,
yeah,
I'm fat, but you right. know, so.
You look good though.
I feel great, man.
You look great.
It's because I'm in control of everything right now. Mm-hmm. And so, like, everything's super manageable in my life.
What do you think is going to happen?
I have no idea.
Isn't that the most frustrating part? Like, when they were like a few weeks ago, they go, I think you'll be able to do shows in July. And even then, I was like, I don't think so. And then they talked about the fall stuff. They're like, well, you got stuff for the fall. And then I go, I don't know if the fall is going to happen. And now they're talking about, then I had a conversation. They were like, well, I don't know if the January, February stuff's going to happen. I was like, damn, that's more like
That's what they said to me. They're like, you know, if you want to be 100%, let's book it in May. And I went, hey, well, we're in May. And they're like, yeah.
Next May.
And but I think that is for bigger. Yeah, we get it, Nadav. It's like we're doing a read. He's like, guys, there's a comment right here. There's a comment right here. Yeah, we're in the middle of talking about something. Give us a sec. And so. By the way, I just saw a movie about him.
About Nadav?
Yeah. It's
what's it called?
Unorthodox on Netflix.
Yeah.
Whew.
About his upbringing.
Whew.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not
How
a,
is it?
Not a kind representation of the chosen people.
No? Is it rough?
It is super aggressive. Like, you do not... It makes sense why most Jewish people aren't Orthodox. Like, it just is a really kind of ridiculous way to live your life. I mean, it is a cult. It is a legit cult. No, it is legit a cult. Like, if you try to leave, they fucking bring you back in. They're aggressive. It's not... I mean, no one can watch Unorthodox and go... No, man, a lot of they make a lot of sense. Like, this poor girl has a fucking rough run it, and these two fucking guys chase her down.
Jews?
Yeah. Orthodox. I mean, I wanted to call Ari. Like, you can't, if you're a woman, you can't. I don't want to do any of this thing because it's a lot of Ari's act. Like, a lot of Ari's new special is what you watch in this, and the jokes Ari makes, you're like, oh, this would have been an amazing fucking special.
Yeah.
Because it is. Like, I hope he still does it because it is mind-blowing. It is no, there's, and then you start going, all religions are cults, I guess, ultimately. All religions are cults. Like, you can't go, like, what if it brings you solace is Scientology. Well, you talk to Leah Renneman, she's like, no, it's a cult. And then you talk to, like, Ari, and he's like, no, it's a cult. Like, they're both fucking, and it's just extremes of cults.
Yeah, yeah.
And luckily, no Orthodox Jewish people watch this, so. Hopefully.
I don't know. I've never...
Nadav, your family watch this? Nope. There we go.
Would you watch this show?
To watch Unorthodox?
Yeah.
No.
Just not interested?
I'm not interested in any type of Jewish content.
It's any of that what?
Any Jewish content? Is that what you said?
So how do you enjoy Hollywood movies?
It's not about Jews.
Okay.
There's another comment
from... Did you know Amy Schumer is Jewish?
Yeah. Jonathan Koss, I love how bad of an influence Tom is to Bert. You should totally start dipping.
Dude, they're coming out with real scientific studies that tobacco is good for the coronavirus.
Like, why don't we look into it?
I keep looking into it, and it's like, what's happening is everyone's saying it's smoking because fucking no one grew up in the South.
Yeah.
And so they're like, they're not taking the alternate. Oh, shit. That's why Nadav, you are the fucking worst with surprises. You're like a fucking child. Get to the dipping. Get to the dipping. Let me see Skoll Classic Long Cut. Right there. Right there. Top.
Okay, thanks, bro.
Ho, ho. That's right.
That ain't your first
time. That's right. This ain't my first rodeo, motherfuckers. Let me tell you something. You want to see someone who really fucking chews tobacco? cut it with my fingernail. That's right.
Dude, that's... You did not... I mean, this seems like you've been doing this...
Oh, bro, I've been waiting for this. By the way, my fingernail's not sharp enough.
You want a key? Oh, thanks, man.
Oh, we're not dipping. I can't dip. I'll start immediately for the... No. I cannot put this in my mouth.
Yes.
I will start immediately.
You'll start.
I will start immediately for the rest of my fucking life.
You
want
to use this to cut?
No.
Hey.
I will start immediately for the rest of my life.
You know what? We have... Yeah. We have pouches, too. You want to do pouches instead?
Mm-mm.
Pouches are not as strong.
I can't.
Let's do the pouch.
Mm-mm, I can't. I've told myself... Dude, this is the beginning of the end for me.
Come on, man.
Mm-mm.
You know what's funny? As soon as I even saw these, my stomach started tingling like, hey, you're going to take a shit pretty soon if you, right?
Oh, it smells.
Does that make you shit?
Like a great conversation.
Does it smell like, does it make you shit? Like when you would throw a dip in, didn't you have to take a dump?
No. I have. So I was talking with, Mike Birbiglia. I did his Tip the Waitstaff show.
Yeah.
And when he was talking about smells, that trigger different things. And like, and I was like,
oh man.
Oh, that smells so fucking good.
Take a dip.
I can't.
Come on. Pouch? Want to do a pouch instead?
No, I can't. I really,
it's honestly, not as strong.
No, I really honestly can't because I will. I mean, you understand.
You will beat the coronavirus. Just do it.
If they said, if you can say that this will protect you from corona, I'm back. I'm back 100%. But I'm back for the rest of my fucking life. Like, I'm never quitting. Dude, it is so hard to quit this shit. Like, have you never been addicted to this?
I was doing it, like, pretty regularly.
Okay.
I was.
Like, did you have to quit?
I did have to quit, yes. And I did have some withdrawals from it. Yeah, I did.
Dude, I had the hardest time quitting this. I had the hardest.
Let's make it a new challenge.
I had the hardest time.
Let's do this.
Let's try the ritual of see what it's like to pack a dip and just see. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm, like, putting on a condom, like, oh.
Yeah.
Tastes so good.
Yeah, just do it.
I can't.
Really?
I really can't. I'll start up immediately. And I'm not the guy with the best mouth right now.
Oh, doesn't that feel good? Yeah, man.
Oh, fuck, that smells so good.
Do you want just a pouch instead?
No, I don't. Who gives a fuck about a pouch?
Well, it's a little milder, you know?
Fuck, not a pouch.
It might be a good way to get started again, you know?
By the way, if you dipped growing up and you stopped.
Wait, when did you quit? When did you quit?
So I dipped all through college.
Yeah.
And when I moved to New York, I couldn't. Oh, these are pouches.
Yeah.
Who gives them? Wintergreen is so good.
Wait.
Let me just see what we got. Pouches. Spearmint.
Ooh. I'm seeing like a real love for this stuff.
Oh, extra mint long cut. I would.
It's like a kid with a collectible. You're just like, oh shit. This was the limited edition one.
I remember when they came out with cherry dip. I remember that.
Wait, tell me. You dipped every day in college?
Yeah.
And then
every day, probably 4 or 5 times.
Right,
a day.
And then you got to New York. And what happened?
I smoked and dipped all through high school and college.
You were a smoker?
Yeah. I love. Dude, there's no
a
better.
A cigarette and booze?
There's like, no better taste than a match and the first draw of a cigarette.
Yeah.
When like the extra, especially when you've packed the pack and so you got a little extra.
Let's do it. Let's smoke cigarettes.
And... You still smoke cigarettes.
No, I don't.
When was the last time you had a cigarette?
11 years ago.
Nuh-uh.
Yeah.
Nuh-uh.
Hand on my kids.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
11 years ago.
Yeah. That was the last time I had a cigarette. Even a drag off a cigarette.
Wow. I remember you being a smoker.
Yeah.
Now, here's the deal. I smoked and chewed all through high school, but not like a ton.
Mm-hmm.
And then in college, it was pretty aggressive. Freshman, sophomore, junior.
Did you list two sophomore years?
Yeah. I had two sophomores, two junior, two seniors. What, you have one freshman, of course. And so first junior, I come back from Russia and I'm
wait, did anything happen in Russia? Is there a story you could tell?
Okay. I was like, saw the Hermitage. And so the, you know, same. And yeah. God, there was no better feeling than having a soda.
Wait.
And having a dip.
But wait, when you get back, I want to know, you go to New York, how hard, what makes you not quit? What makes you quit?
I couldn't find it, and
You couldn't find it there?
No, I couldn't find it anywhere, and no one will understand the feeling. Only someone who is really addicted to chewing tobacco knows this feeling of being in a place where they don't sell it, and going everywhere. Everywhere. Like, it's a real panic. I remember when we were touring together, me and you were working at Brea we used to tour there. I forget his fucking name. And then, and he went on stage. I was featuring, you were hosting. It was the three of us. And I said, I'll be right back. I'm going to go get a dip. This is in Brea, a chew. Because I got back hooked on it with chewing tobacco. Fucking Red Man Golden Blend.
Really?
Dude, I was fucking around one night. I was driving down Sunset. And I was not drinking at the time. So I did like an 8-month stretch of not drinking right after Leanne dumped me and I got her back.
Yeah.
And so I was driving down Sunset and I just felt like an empty feeling. And I pulled into Rite Aid and I was like, I should go in and I'll see what, get like a soda or something. And I saw Red Man and I went, you know what? Like in a weird way, like I've done this before, like with like Black and Milds where I go, I'm empty right now. I'm going to get a Black and Mild. I'm going to get a Swisher Sweet.
Yeah.
I'm going to smoke it in the parking lot. Like just little things like that. And I go, I'm going to get some Red Man Golden Blend. Mm-hmm. And I put it in, I had an Expedition at the time and I'm driving down Sunset. I put it in, I get a spit cup and it was singularly the greatest feeling I've ever had from a drug or alcohol or anything. That first chew,
yeah.
I went, holy shit, this feels good. I went back to my apartment. I took it out. I was sitting down watching TV, and I put another one in. And then I went, God damn it, man. It did it again. I went and played golf with Gary Valentine the next day, and I put one in on the ride to the golf course, took it out, put one in on the golf course front nine, took it out, put one in the golf course back nine, took it out, and I was like, uh-oh, I think I'm fucking hooked. And it wasn't until we were pregnant with Georgia. We had just gotten married. We're driving to our honeymoon. And I put one in the car. And I was like, and I said to Leanne, I was like, this isn't giving me the same joy. She goes, maybe you need to quit for a while. And I was like, yeah. And then I was like, you know what? I'm having a kid. I'm going to quit totally. And I haven't had one since that drive. And I said to myself, if I ever start again, commit to mouth cancer because I will not quit.
Yeah.
Commit to mouth cancer. That's going to happen. You know, I'm not the best with hygiene.
Yeah.
And so, but I'll tell you, man, the smell of it smells so fucking good.
What if we do a challenge?
Okay.
Dip.
These are fucking pouches.
Dip every day for a month.
Skull Bandits. I remember when they came out with Bandits.
Dip
like,
every
I remember,
day.
I remember, I was like, it must have been like, I was probably 10 or 7 when Skull Bandits came out. Because mm-hmm. I remember hearing people having Bandits at the Bucks games.
Yeah. So why don't you dip for a month and then make it part of a challenge to see if you can quit? You know what I mean? Like challenge yourself like Jocko.
See that? I don't subscribe. I just flipped my brain. I don't subscribe to Jocko. I would just start dipping and then going, this is who I am.
This is who I am. Yeah.
Oh.
What was your favorite between a cigarette, dip, and chew? What?
To run a train on my mouth with a cigarette and a dip.
You used to do that.
Oh, fuck yes, dude. I remember having to go top lip. I mean, because my mouth would burn down here and I'd go top lip.
Didn't you love that burn in a way?
I loved. What do you got? Oh, fuck. Give me a cigarette. Are you fucking serious? Camel Blue.
Jeez.
What the fuck? Yeah, Camel Blue. Is that the ones you crush the back like a chick? No. What's Camel Blue? Is it menthol?
No.
What's blue stand for? That's the Camel Light?
Doesn't the Camel Light have the different filter on the end?
They're not allowed to use the word light anymore, so they've changed it to blue.
Oh. Didn't know that.
Let me see a cigarette, too.
You want to smell that?
Mm. Yeah. Can I tell you this? I'll get the feeling. I'll get the feeling by just pulling on this and inhaling.
Yeah.
I can taste the nicotine.
Let's do it.
I can feel it.
Let's just do it. Let's do a binge day.
Oh. We should do a fucking binge day and fucking film it. And go off the rails with everything.
That's what I'm saying.
And see if we can go, like, really test our moderation.
Yeah.
Oh.
Weed. Booze. Beers. Booze, nicotine. Hallucinogenics. We got to get one, like, I really think the way to go is coke. Like, after talking to Drew a bunch.
Dude.
Let's do some coke, man.
Like, I say In the spirit of following in Jocko's footsteps, where he preaches what he believes, right?
Right.
He believes that shit.
Right.
And it works for him really fucking well.
Yeah.
I mean, I watched him talk about whole milk today. Yeah. I was like, who doesn't drink whole milk? I get vitamin D milk all the time.
He talked about whole milk?
He was like, he goes, I got a lot of backlash. Talking that I use some whole milk. And I guess I was like, what?
Wait, what is it?
World do your fans live in? I have no idea. I just watched the first part. I got his audio book. I'm listening to his audio book right now. I love it because it really does pique your mind, because I don't think that way naturally.
Yeah.
It forces me to see the world in a different way. And in a productive way, obviously. Yes. But so I follow him, and today he was like, I'm getting a lot of backlash. Because I told you I like to make my morning shakes with whole milk. And I was like, in my head, I was like, what fans
what
do you
are they
have
mad at you about?
That are like, God damn it. Is he saying milk? Fucking whole milk?
I was like, what did they want him to say? Almond milk?
I have no idea. I stopped watching. I was like, God bless Jocko. Then he woke up and he was like, fuck, I shouldn't have said whole milk.
Buying someone jewelry is usually a great experience all around. They get a beautiful gift, and you get the unforgettable moment of seeing the look on their face when they open it. The only tricky part, figuring out how to get the perfect piece at the best price. This is what I recommend for any jewelry purchase. Source it from BlueNile.com. Blue Nile offers thousands of independently graded diamonds and fine jewelry at prices significantly below traditional retail. They also offer a peace of mind with every purchase, with some of the highest quality standards in the industry. They're available 24/7 by phone or chat to answer technical questions and give recommendations for every budget. The thing about buying jewelry is you really don't know what you're getting into. You don't know what you're looking at often. And the great thing about working with Blue Nile is you have somebody who is a true expert that can help guide you along the way, so you don't feel lost, so you know what these diamond grades are, you know you're getting real value. You can feel great about your purchase because Blue Nile also offers a diamond price match guarantee. And just in case you don't, they offer 30-day returns. Shop Blue Nile today and experience the ease and convenience of the original online jeweler. Go to BlueNile.com today. That's BlueNile.com.
At Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care, and we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible, because we're already doing it, all while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
By the way, I wanted to give another shout out to not just Lotus for the Agora GT, but Matt Farah, the smoking tire. So I did his podcast a week ago, and I was like, you know, I love cars, and we just had a great car conversation. I was like, man, I always wish I could be one of those people that they'll just let drive a car for a few days. And he was like, oh, you can be.
I can make that happen.
Yeah. He's like, and he made it happen. And anyways, we had a great time on his podcast, but I'm driving this Lotus for a few days and it's so fun.
Really?
It's so fun. Yeah. It's a true sports car. It's not crazy, crazy fast, but it's fast.
What do you mean? Like it's not like
everything becomes about like, does it go 0 to 60 in 2.5 seconds? No, but it's still fast. It still handles great. It's no frills. Like you get in the car and there's AC and a radio, and then there's just a sport race button. That's it. Those are like the modes. It's not full of gadgets. It's like, it's a fun sports car experience. Really low to the ground. Really, it's manuals, but like really easy gate move in and out of. It's a fun car to drive. If you're looking for a sports car that you don't see everybody driving, like, yeah. you know, I've seen a couple. I think that's kind of one of the appeals is you go like, I don't see these everywhere. You yeah. know, like you see a hundreds of other sports cars. So I don't know. I've just had like a really, really fun time driving it.
All right. Then let's talk. Let's pivot. I like this.
Yeah.
What do you think about, Jordan in the documentary only seems to be driving Corvettes?
He was famously driving the Ferrari for a while.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He had that black Ferrari, which he tells the comment. I don't know if it's in The Last Dance or I watched another video. Might have watched another video that, because you know he's like the most amazing trash talker.
Yeah.
So he said I think it was in a different video. Another player was saying that, it might have been Gary Payton, went up to Jordan.
The glove.
Went
Did
up to
you
Jordan
see the
was
video
like,
of him yeah, oh watching the Gary yeah. Payton goes, I shut him down? And he goes, the glove?
Well, first he goes,
yeah.
He does that. And then when he goes, and then things different, he was like, he's like, okay. He's like, I had no problem. I love that he's still so competitive that 20 years later, he's like, fuck that dude.
Yeah, I love it. By the way, hold on. I have so many notes on the fucking...
It's amazing.
On the
it's
Last Dance.
Amazing.
But I look at it from a different... finish what you're saying.
Okay,
I apologize.
The
Ooh! Drink, motherfuckers!
What happened?
I let you finish a statement.
So, the Ferrari statement was this. So, he was driving like a 458 back then. Which is just like such a baller thing for an athlete to pull up and be like, I'm going to go score 45 points. I'll see y'all in a minute. But he said one game, I think it was Peyton or one of the Supersonics came up to him and was like, hey man, I got a Ferrari too. And then he turned to him and goes, yeah, but you paid for yours. And they were like, because like, he's like, hey, give me that shit.
Here's what I think is, Isaiah Thomas must be fucking livid.
Yeah.
They have almost destroyed his reputation.
Yeah, it's taking other people like defending him to not make everyone hate him.
Everyone. And then I started, I mean, I and I've said this a couple times, I know people don't believe this, but what's next? Like curiosity.
Mm-hmm.
How many NBA All-Stars, MVPs, Hall of Famers do you think are watching this being like, fuck that, I'm going to make my documentary.
Hmm.
Like, why isn't Sean Kemp going, hold on, I was a fucking human highlight reel.
Yeah.
Like, I like to make an argument that I'm one of the greatest ever. Why isn't, you know for a fact, people in Hollywood, in LA, are like, let's make a Kareem documentary. Because Kareem is arguably the greatest player ever to play in professional
some
basketball.
Some people just aren't documentary worth like maybe
is that what it is? Is that
yeah? Like
is that Jordan literally was a highlight reel.
But Jordan, here's the thing: he was so dominant, and so iconic. This became an international superstar, recognized in a village in North Africa, yeah. China, anywhere you went. He pretty much single-handedly took the NBA, which was a more mid-tier sports league, you know, professional sports league, and like made it like the most popular international league, probably added fucking $100 billion of worth
to
that league.
Do you think he created the European player?
Well, the game was totally different there. You know what I mean? Like he elevated the popularity of the sport so much. I mean, the world really did. Everyone wanted to be like Mike, you know? And you look back on that documentary, and I was saying it before that my perspective of Michael Jordan was always as a kid. You know, I watched him as a kid, yeah. and I thought, like, this guy's just naturally the best.
Yeah.
He's just the best player ever. To watch it as an adult, and see not just like how how much work he put into it and everything and how possessed he was as a competitor, but to have it validated that like, oh, actually, you know how your kid eyes were like, oh, he's just really great. To see like those other dudes who are professional basketball players all acknowledge like that dude could just fuck us up at any time. It kind of blows your mind, right? You're like, that dude really was that much of a savage playing basketball. Like,
oh,
he wanted to kill you. You know, he wanted to kill you and demoralize you and humiliate, and he's creating
stories inside his own head of why he should kill you.
Yeah.
I love that.
Oh,
I create stories all the time.
It's so fun. Yeah.
By the way, if any one of us, I know I did this a lot and other people that do that, where you lay in bed and you fight with someone. Oh. Jordan was doing that all the time.
He
was like, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, you want
that
to say
back to back story they tell of like the guy was like, good game.
Yeah, good game.
And he's like, I'm gonna score what he scored in the first half.
Yeah, and then he goes, and then they say, So we talked to what's the name, and he said that never happened. And he goes, yeah, I made that up. And you're like,
yeah.
By the way, can I tell you, on that vein of making it up, I was in bed and I was like, I'm watching the documentary and I'm like, all right, I want to say I wish I had seen Jordan play, but I think I saw him play in Orlando. Mm-hmm. I think, and I was like, that's impossible. Because I'm like, I left Florida in 97. When would I have ever seen him in Orlando? Play in Orlando. Mm-hmm. I remember having great seats in Orlando. My dad had gotten them somehow, and I went to a game. It was like six rows back, and I was like, I only went because I wanted to see Jordan play. But I can't really remember. And then I thought, do I just give myself that memory? I don't remember if it's true or not.
Yeah.
But do I just give myself the memory and go, I saw him play, and then I'm happy.
This is such a birdism.
Yeah. Like, do I go, because I'm pretty sure.
I saw him play live 3 times.
Okay, see, I don't have that memory.
Yes.
I have going to see the Magic and the Bulls play, I think.
And what year would it have been?
It would have been right after the Rolling Stone article. So it would have been 97, in whatever that year 97, 98 is.
Okay.
So, and I think I went to watch the Bulls and the Magic play, I think, or this is even crazier, some sort of exhibition game that Michael Jordan was in.
Could have been.
But I know that I went. I know that I went because I wanted to see Michael Jordan play.
Uh-huh.
But I don't remember if I saw Michael Jordan play because I was drinking. I don't really remember much of it. And then I just decided, I'm just going to give myself the memory. Like, just go. Let's not overthink it. You saw Jordan play.
Yeah.
To
hear how your mind works is, it's really, really an astonishing thing. I mean, most people would carry that memory with some detail, you know, because they're like, I saw the greatest person to ever play this game play live.
I met Dave Grohl, and I said, I have a very distinct memory of seeing Dave Grohl seeing Nirvana play in Tallahassee.
Uh-huh.
Not really sure. Kind of don't remember.
Yeah.
Might have been just Smashing Pumpkins. But in my memory, it was Nirvana and Smashing Pumpkins. And I believe I have that memory.
And did you tell Dave Grohl?
I saw Dave Grohl, and I was like, I saw you guys live in Tallahassee. And the look on his face suggested we never played in Tallahassee. And I shut the story down and cut him off so he couldn't change my memory. I didn't want to know the truth. We were on mushrooms. And I don't remember. By the way, I told him how they set up on stage. And you can see in his eyes, like, I have no fucking idea what you're talking about.
Well,
there was a crucifix here, and Kurt was on one side. You were in the center. He was like, that never happened.
Let me just tell you, without a doubt, you never saw Jordan play, okay?
Why would you take your own beautiful memory and give yourself shit when you can have a beautiful memory?
That's true.
Like, why not just selfishly just, it's so funny because I go, I look at that and I go, I definitely pull up Nirvana Smashing Pumpkins tour. Let's find out if this is a real memory. Because we ate mushrooms. I distinctly remember Nirvana and Smashing Pumpkins playing.
You know the year? No.
I know who I would have gone with. Oh, fuck. This is scary to think that I will now say, go from saying, I saw Nirvana and Smashing Pumpkins live.
That says 91? No, that's definitely not 91.
All right, hold on. You ready to find out?
Yeah.
I can find out if I saw Nirvana play live.
You're going to call your friend?
This is who I would have gone with. It was when I was in Giving Out Spankings.
Yeah.
You said Tallahassee, right?
Tallahassee. Yeah. At the Civic Center.
But it's
not. It would not be 91. It would be 92, 93. It would be 94. It was when I turned 21. Do the math.
He died in 94.
Hello?
Dager, it's Bert.
What's up, dude?
Hey, I'm with Segura, and we're talking about... All right, be careful and try to remember this best you can. Don't just answer, no, never happened, okay? Just think the best you can. Did we see Nirvana play live at the Civic Center in Tallahassee in college? Think about it. Think about it. Or did we...
I already remember. We did.
Ah! I saw Nirvana live! I saw Nirvana live! Oh, fuck yeah, it was awesome, right?
Hell yeah, it was.
God damn it, John, you just made my fucking day.
It was the In Utero tour. They had those fucking, anatomically correct fucking things on stage with wings and shit.
Yeah. In Utero. It says Tallahassee.
God damn it. Oh, it says Tallahassee fucking right John, there. You're the
December
best,
December 2nd, 1993?
December 2nd, 1993. That sounds right. Fuck yeah, Dacre. God damn it. Oh, thank you, man. God damn it. Hey, who opened? I thought Smashing Pumpkins opened for him, but the Breeders did?
Breeders, I think.
God, your memory is so much better than mine. Awesome, brother. I'll talk to you later, okay?
All right, dude. Good timing. I just got to get back on to work.
All right, bye. I saw Nirvana play live. I did. I fucking did. Now, here's the question, Tom. Here's the real question.
Doesn't it suck that you don't remember?
No. By the way, now I know all my memories to be real, but here's the real question. Does it matter?
Yes.
Let's see what weighs more. I was giving myself that memory, not knowing if it was true or not, but I was giving myself the memory. Is the memory better or more valuable now that I know it's true versus me just going, yeah, I did that. Like, what memory is more valuable? It feels the same. Like, it still feels the same. Like,
right.
I did see them live, but if I kind of didn't, and I thought I did, it doesn't matter. So you know what? I fucking saw Jordan play. I'm just going to go, because I all my feelings are the same, right?
Yeah.
All my emotions are the same. I feel like I have that memory. I feel like I saw greatness. I feel like I was a part of something that was cool. I feel that, right?
Yeah.
Because I've gifted it to myself. It would be 97. It would be 97, and it would have been right after college. Did they play?
That'd have been it. Probably right there, right?
Yeah. It was exactly when it was. It was over Christmas break. December 10th,
1997.
I saw Jordan play. But you know what?
God.
It doesn't change. It's so crazy that I was going to give myself those memories anyway.
Yeah.
To make me happier.
And now you're like, oh, they're true.
Yeah. It's like if you go to a strip club and she's like grabs your dick and you're like, that's not cheating.
Right. That's true.
It really is.
A like, dick suck ain't cheating.
No, well, a dick suck. But like when a girl like motorboats you in a strip club and you're like, that's not cheating. But if you did it in a van in a parking lot with a chick outside your show, you'd be like, I definitely cheated.
Yeah.
But it's
motorboat.
By the way, if we're going to add to my commencement speech, it's about make your own rules.
And make your own memories.
Make your own memories. Make your own laws. You're the only one that goes to bed with you every single night. So as long as you know that you're happy, that's all that fucking matters. I saw Nirvana and I saw Michael Jordan. And by the way, I didn't really even know that until now, but I feel the same.
You feel the same.
That's fucking, I am so broken. Like, I mean, honestly, if you had a therapist watching this, they'd be like, this is like got to be sociopathic.
They'd have some notes.
It's got to be sociopathic, right?
I don't know if it's sociopathic, but they would have some notes.
There has to be something wrong with me that I really justified for, 25 years? I've been like talking in my head about, and see, every time I listen to Nirvana, I'm like,
oh, that show was great.
I remember where I was sitting, and I did not know if it was a real memory.
So what you're saying is you do kind of remember that show.
I 100% remember. We were sitting top, like, this is the stage. We were up in the nosebleeds up to the top up here. And this, like, this stage, we're up here.
Mm-hmm.
We ate mushrooms, so I was pretty fucking high. And they had the I thought it was a crucifix, but it was the, I'm sure I was just fucking high as shit. Mm-hmm. It was the inflatable, the in utero symbol of her on the, with the wings or something.
Mm-hmm.
So pull up the in utero symbol.
Yeah.
And I swear to God, Kurt Cobain was to the left. Chris Novoselic was to the right. They were on separate sides of the stage and Dave Grohl was in the center. And it was that thing on the stage. Yeah. And I'm telling you, man, it was a fucking amazing show. And
So wait, why did you doubt the memory though?
Because I didn't, I wasn't sure it happened. Like,
oh,
I
she didn't just, know if it was a created memory.
Yeah, like you had told me about, do you ever see Nirvana? And I didn't remember that conversation. And then all of a sudden I'm like, I wish I had that memory. And then it starts forming in your head.
Yeah.
You have a couple dreams and then you're like, I saw them.
Yeah.
And, but I didn't, couldn't tell if it was, I mean, we were really into Smashing Pumpkins at the time.
Mm-hmm.
But John Dacre was obsessed with Nirvana. And he was like, dude, we got to see them live. And I was like, I didn't really give a fuck.
Yeah.
We were in a band at the time. And then after seeing that show, I was obsessed with them. I'll tell you one show that I can say that I went to. Two shows that I went to that were the greatest live concerts I've ever been to. Beck in Giant Stadium.
Yeah. Amazing show.
Oh, amazing show. Beck live was fucking...
I bet he's in it.
And they didn't even serve booze at that show. I was stone fucking sober, and I remember that show.
That's kind of interesting how that kind of lines up.
Yep. Yeah.
Very clear memory. Great memory. Positive feelings.
Such a vivid fucking memory.
I was totally sober.
Such a vivid fucking memory. Yeah. And
that's weird.
And Cold War Kids. No, yeah. Not Cold War Kids.
Look up, by the way, can you look up, because I'm trying to remember this. I saw Jordan play against the Timberwolves in what I think was the Timberwolves' inaugural game, the first Timberwolves game. I think it was their first game ever. So it would have been like 1989, I think.
Wow.
But can you look up a first Timberwolves game, first Minnesota Timberwolves game?
By the way, all I can think right now is, did I see Shaq play also?
I saw Shaq play. I saw Shaq play in Orlando. It's the 89, right? 89-90 season. Would that be their inaugural season? That's their first season. And
Maybe I'll start a religion.
Maybe you'll start a religion?
Yeah, of shit I believe in. And then people are like, yeah, I kind of want good memories too.
I think you kind of have that. I think you already kind of have that. What if you just Google
God
first Minnesota Timberwolves game? You know what I mean?
No, this is the schedule right here.
Is that the schedule?
Yes. Yeah, so I'm trying to get rid of this little box.
Hey, can someone, one of our fans, do a make a Nadav is Googling song that we can play during
okay.
these?
Okay. So look. Is that the order?
Yeah, this is the schedule. I don't know. Is this
so? It looks like the third game.
Yeah, there it is. The third game. Yeah. They lost, obviously.
Yeah, I was at that game.
Really?
Yeah, I was at that game. And then I also went to see the Bulls play the Bucks twice, but in Milwaukee. I never saw them play in Chicago.
I've never saw them in Chicago. Hey, Shaq was on that team, I guess?
Which one?
I must have seen Shaq play too.
If you saw the game in
Orlando, I love Shaq.
Yeah, I saw him play.
He'd be 95. The one guy that I'd break this rule where we could have guests. I wouldn't mind guests on the show.
If Shaq came
in here? Like legit big fucking guests.
Yeah.
Where you know that we could tag team them okay.
Mm-hmm.
But like Shaq is the fucking greatest.
He's awesome.
Dude, I love everything about him. If I could have a career like his where like you do like you know, one more special, everyone likes it, you do a big tour and then you just retire and do general commercials, like, hey, I could do that in a fucking heartbeat.
Do it.
God damn it, man. That's what a great day to here's why you need people like you and that guy Dacre in your lives.
Why?
Because you know you saw Jordan play. In your head, you were like, I want to see the greatest play. Mm-hmm. I'm going to make sure I have that memory. You probably remember who you went to the game with.
Oh, yeah, I went with my dad.
Oh, okay. Yeah. He just called, by the way.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, and but you remember. So, like, to have people like that in your life that go, yeah, we definitely did that. We definitely did that.
Shaq was not playing which game?
God damn it.
Shaq wasn't on the team in 1997, I don't believe. This is the box score right here. It was
for which game?
Grant. This is the game.
Oh, the one you went to. Yeah. Okay.
Was he playing at Los Angeles already or Miami?
I don't think he was even. Yeah, I think he was. This is 97, so was he drafted yet? Was he 98?
Oh, yeah. Oh, he was already.
So he was already in LA.
He was in the league. Can I tell you, I almost remember him.
Because I moved to Florida in 94.
Yeah.
And I went to a Magic game and to see Shaq play.
I never saw Shaq.
I moved there at the end of 94, so I don't know if I saw him in late 94 or early 95, but he was on the Magic definitely in that period.
Can I tell you, I had dated a girl that had a hilarious Shaq story, mm-hmm. and I want to say that Shaq was on the team but in a suit, and I want to say that the only person I was really fascinated by was Penny Hardaway.
Yeah, Penny was
the
shit.
Penny was so fucking good, man.
He was the
it's
shit.
It's like, that's what, when you look at The Last Dance, they should be,
that 30 for 30 for about Penny and Shaq was fucking amazing.
Amazing, dude.
Yeah,
amazing.
They've been doing that. I mean, the thing is that, like, we're so lucky, especially if you're a basketball fan or a Jordan fan, to get The Last Dance. Jordan had to sign, he controlled the footage and didn't have to do these interviews. He's Michael Jordan. And the fact that he actually agreed to sit down and do these interviews and like be so candid, like
let's
tell stories. It was amazing.
Documentary fluff pieces about ourselves. Because you realize in fucking 40 years, no one's going to remember that D'Elia was better than me, right? They're just going to remember my documentary about me was fucking amazing.
So
no one's going to remember. They'll remember Joe Rogan. But
so you want to do like a thing where we like
make fluff documentaries about our lives and just highlight things.
But do you want to talk about comedy the way that these guys talk about games?
It's a late show
in Brea, and I went up there.
Yes.
And I just slammed that shit. You cut to people who were like, he was so fucking funny.
Yeah, and by the way, it doesn't even need to be true. It's like just cut to like Dave Attell going, I was in the back of the room.
By the way, that should be your next special's title. It doesn't need to be true. That's 100% a perfect title for you.
By the way, it doesn't need to be true.
That's you. That is you. It doesn't need to be true. Bert Kreischer doesn't need to be true.
I'm going to produce a fluff piece documentary on me being the greatest stand-up comedian to ever take the stage.
Okay? All right.
And I'm gonna make it an 8-part series.
You gotta have an 8-part series.
It's gonna be a lot of the same thing. But I wanna do a fluff part documentary and then make it, and then people will be like, God, I bet if you saw that for the first time, you didn't know me, you'd be like, I gotta see this guy.
Especially if you get people to be like, man, and one thing you didn't want to do was challenge Bert, because
he
would just take over after that shit.
Almost like really. By the way, and I'll keep a lot of these athletes in it. Like, I'll just keep Isaiah Thomas going like, man, I didn't have a problem with him. Hey, can someone edit that? Just take out Jordan's interviews and I'll recreate all of Jordan's.
Yep, and have everybody else talk about him.
It's not a fluff piece because he is the greatest, but he did produce it. So I mean, obviously he's the greatest, but like...
But they handle, you know, they talk about... Because the critique of him not being like really into activism, right? They handle that.
Made me second guess. I've always said I don't like talking about politics. And then you hear, because I really do believe that I wouldn't say Republicans. I would say both people deserve to come to a comedy show and laugh. And I look at comedy as like, I don't want to alienate or isolate anyone.
That's how he...
I'm not going to stand up and go kick out all Republicans. But like, you hear him say that and then people fucking come down on him.
Yeah, and people were disappointed. Because there have always been like these big stories. And then it's like... It's especially if you balance that against like LeBron is like very, very vocal about all types of social issues. So it kind of bleeds into that comparison that people are always doing. You know?
There will be a LeBron documentary.
Oh, yeah. Oh yeah,
there
of course.
Will. And does he just accept that he's number two?
Well, you know,
there's going to be a Kobe one. Like this one has been so successful that there's no way they don't make a Shaq one, a Kobe one, a LeBron one, a Kareem one. Like they're gonna, like ESPN's gonna be like, hold on 1 second. This is bigger than Tiger King. This is the biggest thing in media in probably the last 20 years.
I don't know. I mean, I know it's been like a huge hit, but I mean, you know, there is already the Kobe show, like the Spike Lee did a movie about Kobe that followed him. So there's stuff. It's gonna be, yeah. The what's that called?
Hey, mark my words. There's not one person playing in the NFL that doesn't have a fucking film crew going, or in the. I'm gonna take that from the top. Just edit that part out. Mark my words. There's not one. By the way, isn't it amazing? I can just shift right into it.
Yeah.
Mark my words. There's not one person in the NBA that isn't gonna have a film crew with them everywhere. Locker rooms are gonna be filled with fucking film crews.
Because they want that shit.
Because they want that fucking documentary.
Well, here's the thing is, I realized just now, like through this last period, especially watching that doc, that everything, your opinion on greatness is so heavily, heavily biased by the age you are during someone's greatness. So, you know, like we as kids would always hear about, well, you didn't see Kareem play, you didn't see Oscar Robertson play.
Yeah.
And you'd always go like, and the same thing happens now. Like younger people will be like, dude, LeBron's definitely the best. And then anyone older, they just go like, okay, boomer, like you're just old. And
yeah.
Like, and you know, people will compare stats, but I don't know. I think if you grew up in the Jordan era, like if you watched him from, if you're like from age probably 7 to 25, 30, if you're in that age range and you were like watching him in this time, you'll never be like swayed to another side ever.
No.
So, yeah. I mean, I get it. Like, I just go, there's going to be disagreements. People will, you know, be like, ah, you know, he had more points per game. Okay. I mean, no one who grew up with Jordan is going to be like, you're right. Like this guy who just completely dominated this space for a decade and won 2 3-peats, MVP, just single-handedly could take over. No one's ever going to be like, yeah, I give it to you. I think the other guy's better. It's just not going to happen.
Yeah. Would you, if you could, give your sons a pill?
Yeah.
So that they would have physically, they will physically develop into either LeBron James or Michael Jordan physically, every attribute, muscle-wise, size-wise.
Yeah.
Would you give them that pill now, knowing that they may not take up basketball and may be just the freakish guy in the fucking office?
Would I give them the pill?
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
Really?
I'd give them both the pill, fucking extra pills.
And just have them be just monsters.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Even though if they're just...
And I would go to all their games and just cry at joy at watching my sons make these other kids suffer, you know? But I would just be like, he dunked on him again.
Let me tell you a story about a guy. I won't say his name because I know he has anxiety.
Okay.
Let's just call him Hawk.
Okay.
Okay. He knows I'm talking about him.
Okay.
Hawk was 6'7", 6'9", in ninth grade.
God.
Yeah. And a monster
mm-hmm.
on the basketball court. Except he was a very shy, gentle dude.
Yeah.
And he did not like people staring at him.
Mm-hmm.
And because he was 6'9", everyone stared at him all the time, and it gave him ulcers. Because he was the center of attention anywhere he went.
Oh, because he's a giant.
Adults would talk to him. People would single him out. How tall are you? You play ball? And he ended up stopping playing basketball because it was too much for him. It was like almost being famous at a young age, and he quit playing basketball. I think he quit playing basketball.
I know two dudes, three actually, two that were like oversized eighth grade, ninth graders who were real gentle guys.
Yeah.
And they were totally like put off by it. Another guy who was 6'7" as a sophomore, junior in high school. And all of us were like, you know, holy shit, man, I couldn't dunk. Because his body just hadn't like caught up, and
yeah.
We played a pickup game. I blocked a shot of his. Like, I was like, Jesus, man, like you can't levitate an inch, you know? And he died.
Oh
yeah.
How?
He's just too tall, and he just died.
From being too tall?
No. He died totally unrelated to that.
He hit his head on a doorway.
kind of
ceiling fan. The, he,
But yeah, it doesn't work out great for everybody.
Yeah. Why?
Think about, there's got to be more than a handful of, maybe not Shaq-sized dudes, but like 6'10", who don't have the athletic skill. They just walk around like, yep, I'm 6'10".
And everyone says,
nothing is made for me.
I can't ever go surfing.
Nothing.
I can never go skydiving. I am uncomfortable in planes.
Movies. Yeah,
I like reading graphic novels.
It's got to be
and that's not, I can't even be a gamer because the fucking controller's so small in my hand.
And yeah, and if you're just like 6'10", and not an athlete, and you have a regular 9-to-5, and then you don't have the resources to be like, hey, can we build a house with 14-foot ceilings?
Yeah.
So I can walk around.
Like Shaq?
Yeah.
Oh, so I guess like my feet will hang off the bed. I'll never be comfortable in a hotel shower.
It's brutal.
It'll hit me in my belly button.
That's brutal.
Dude, so you would give your kids that life, knowing they may not be athletic. And then all of a sudden they can, every flight sucks. Every hotel sucks.
Yes, but the reason I would do it is because I would take a page out of Bert Kreischer's book, which
is... I love the beginning of this sentence.
Selfishly, it makes me happy that you're this tall. I am enjoying your freakish nature. It makes me pleased. And if you can't develop the drive to get better and compete and take this freak show body that God gave you with pills, then you know what? That's on you.
Fuck yeah. I like it. I like it. And Uncle Bert approves.
On that, we got to wrap this up.
Oh, for real?
Yeah.
God damn it. Do we have any, can I ask you one quick pivot of a question?
Yes.
Because I want your assessment.
Yes.
Last night I tweeted, greatest college team in history, meaning if you can go in a time machine and pick all their all pros from all their past histories.
They're all-time teams.
All-time teams. You could get Ray Lewis. You could get... Michael Irving, you could get Warren Sapp, you could pull all their all pros from whatever year and collaborate and make one college team.
Yeah.
What college has the best football team? I want to hear your answer, and then I will tell you what the internet said.
I mean, there's just a top five that everybody would, top
Give
five
me
or
top
six.
Top five.
Okay. You would, it would,
and I bet it's not the one the internet says.
Really?
I was blown away.
It would be definitely Miami's in the conversation.
Miami?
Definitely USC.
Yes.
Definitely Nebraska.
Mm-hmm.
I would say FSU. Absolutely. All-time team?
All-time
team is all-time insane.
All-time, you get to collect all. By the way, it doesn't even have to be, it really technically doesn't have to be guys that went pro and were amazing in pros.
No, it's like,
although you're going to take
dominant,
them. Dominant.
I mean, Marvin Jones, Derek Brooks.
Deion Sanders.
Corey Simon, Deion Sanders.
Charles
Peter Boulware.
Yeah.
Peter Warwick. It's a fucking crazy team.
Yeah.
I would take them.
You haven't named the correct answer.
Hold on. Miami, Nebraska, USC, FSU, Ohio State, and who would be the last one? I don't know. That's top five right there.
Okay. You ready?
You could go LSU, too. Their all-time team would be nuts.
Okay.
All-time team would be nuts.
The answer that I got overwhelmingly.
Is not one of those schools?
Is not one of those schools.
Okay. What is it?
Pitt.
What? Yeah, they have
Dan Marino,
yeah.
Tony Dorsett, Larry Fitzgerald, Curtis Martin, Shady, Mike Ditka, Bill Frolick, Jimbo Covert, Mark May, Russ Grimm, Revis Island, Chris Dolan, Ricky Jackson, Hugh. I mean, everyone.
It's an awesome all-time team. I still think it's a top 10 team.
Antonio Bryant, Aaron Donald, Darrell Revis, everyone. Said fucking Pitt. Isn't that crazy? I mean,
no,
didn't
I
even
mean,
register in my top 10.
You're right. That caught me off guard. I still think it's a top 10 team. I still think that, like, look, everyone's going to make that case that the Miami team, I would think that would be, most college fans would just be like, look, if you take the all-time roster from Miami, it's absolutely bananas.
That's what I said. I thought it would be Miami. But then you know what someone said to me? They're like, were like, yeah, Miami in like the 80s and 90s.
Yeah.
But never ever before then.
Yeah, but here's the
thing. And not after then, really.
That's pretty true. Like that, but that, you take 83 through 01, 02. It is, I mean, it's Hall of Fame Central, man. It's really crazy.
Michael Irving talked about greatness, and it was, can you pull up, see if just real quick, see if you can find Michael Irving talking about greatness. And it's a speech he gave, and it was, they were putting a mic on him,
mm-hmm.
and it was maybe the most moving speech I've ever heard.
He, by the way, he's great. My favorite person to watch do press.
Yeah.
Is definitely Warren Sapp. Warren Sapp.
Let's call him.
Doesn't give a fuck. Yeah.
Should we call him?
Call him.
What? But we have to have an angle to call him.
Just to be like, hey, greatest like all time teams. Do you think is Miami top five?
Okay, let's call Warren Sapp. By the way, I've not abused this number.
Yeah,
he gave it to me.
Yeah.
Here we go.
Ask him. Ask you top five. Who are the top five all-time teams?
Okay.
That's the angle.
I feel like I could put a dip in to start this. Here we go.
He loves the dip.
I know. Okay, we're calling Warren Sapp.
Yeah.
Here we go. Yeah. Oh, this makes me nervous. This might be one of the top.
Tell him you're doing your podcast.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I wonder if he remembers me. He's gonna say, "Bert the Conqueror, what's up?" Will he answer?
I don't know.
He's probably fishing right now. Probably not going to answer. Unless he's like, what? It's going to voicemail.
Sorry. Leave him a message.
Yeah.
Right?
No.
No? Okay. No message.
He's not going to check his voicemails.
Text him later. Text him.
Your call has been forwarded to an automated voicemail.
Yeah, give out his number. Yeah.
God, okay. Well, my hands are... I was just squeezing my hands so hard.
I see them. They're sweating.
I was sweating. I was freaked out.
We got to wrap up. So I love that. And look, they'll definitely write in the comments their top five.
Yeah, put your top five in the comments. I'm dying to hear your top five.
I said Miami. I said USC. I said Ohio State. I said FSU. Nebraska.
That is exactly my top five as well.
All right.
And I did not see Pitt coming. I'm looking at my phone to see if Warren's
the
calling.
The Pitt thing would be amazing. I mean, if he weighed in on this, it would be amazing.
It would be fucking amazing. If I call him twice, do I?
Don't call him
thirsty,
twice.
Right?
Yeah. Don't call him
twice. By the way, just, hey, do me a favor. Hit up Warren Sapp and never mind. That's a horrible idea. That is a horrible idea with you fucking animals. Okay. Do not reach out to Warren Sapp. He's a nice guy. He's a friend.
Okay. All right. We got to go. Thank you guys for watching, for listening. Love you, Bert.
Love you too, Tommy.
Bye-bye.
Bert and Tom. Tom and Bert. One goes topless while the other wears a shirt. Tom tells stories and Bert's the machine. There's not a chance in hell that they'll keep it clean. Here's what we call Two Bears, One Cave. No scripts, a bit of booze, amateur partology. Dirty jokes, raunchy humor, no apologies. Here's what we call Two Bears, One Cave.